Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
So let's have that conversation. Here's Kerry Peck. Kerry, welcome to WGN Radio. I'll let you hit the button over there. Curtis, Kerry, welcome
Thank
to the show.
John.
How are you?
I'm excellent. Thanks for having me this morning.
I said a moment ago you're an expert in elder law. Is that the area of specialty for you guys?
That is. That's correct. Elder law, which includes both the courtroom work in financial exploitation cases, much like the Chuck Yeager case that you're talking about,
yeah,
along with estate planning and protecting older adults.
So if I mean, I'm 61. If Brenda and I wanted to make out a will or estate plan or something like that, you would take us as well, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. What do you make of that Chuck Yeager story that I just mentioned?
Well, you know, the Chuck Yeager story is really a sad example of, unfortunately, what's happening throughout the country to older adults. We typically see, and I frankly would say it's an epidemic, younger women preying on older men. I call it love at first sight of their wallet. And this just happens in a lot of different circumstances. Unfortunately, we're seeing victims being found in places we used to consider safe, churches, senior centers, synagogues, and the like. And these very, very shrewd women move in when they see, for example, an elderly man's wife has passed away. They promptly are sitting next to him at church or spending time with him at the senior center. And they do their best to move in very quickly, both physically and otherwise, to take control of this older adult who may be lonely, isolated, and crying out for some companionship.
What about that, though? I mean, suppose the guy is well aware of what her motives are, and she's well aware of what his are. I mean, if he's agreeable to that, then there's no harm, no foul, right?
Well, I think that regrettably is true. The competent people have the ability to make bad decisions. And we hear that quite frequently at the Daily Center and from the judges. And, if it's a business deal and they're each getting what they want and he's competent to make that decision, then so be it.
Is that what we're talking about, though? More often than not, it's a person who's maybe not competent to make that decision or see what's happening here.
I think we are talking about more commonly scenarios in which the older adult, typically male, is cognitively impaired. And he may be suffering from dementia, he may have had a stroke, and he has vascular dementia, but he's cognitively impaired for a variety of different reasons, and he's not capable of making those decisions. And, you know, she's seen what she likes, particularly the money, and using her best efforts to get into his pocketbook.
Yeah. We're not talking about Chuck Yeager anymore now, but let's just talk about what you're talking about. What about when somebody has someone caring for them in their home? Maybe this person is living in a senior facility. Maybe he's living at home and there are women coming into the house to take care of them. Is that where this happens a lot?
In fact, John, you're dead on right. That's exactly where it happens quite a bit. And in fact, there is a statute that my law firm, Peck Ritchie, was involved in drafting, a caregiver statute, which prohibits gifts or post-death dispositions of property to a caregiver in excess of $20,000. If a gift is made in excess of $20,000, it's presumed to be fraud, and the caregiver has to demonstrate to the court that it is not a fraudulent gift. So it does typically happen in the settings that you've described. For example, an older adult is alone. He's in his house. He's got a 24/7 caregiver taking care of him. And, she's interested in getting him to sign a document, perhaps an amendment to the trust or something of that nature. And asking him flat out, co-sign my car loan or lend me money or give me money. And, when an individual is isolated and susceptible to that kind of pressure, we're seeing a lot of those types of cases.
Is it, and you're saying it's presumed fraudulent if that man gives that woman more than $20,000?
That's correct.
Does everybody know that? I didn't know that. I've never heard of such a thing.
Well, I don't know if everybody knows it, but this is a great opportunity for your listeners to learn about this situation because it's a relatively new law, but it was designed to protect older adults that are vulnerable to this type of financial exploitation.
My number is 312-981-7200 if you have a question or comment. Kerry Peck is on a phone line. He's a managing partner at Peck Ritchie. Their website is peckritchie.com. Spell Ritchie, RITCHEY.com. We have a few minutes here. We'll talk more, I'm sure, down the road about stuff like this, but I'm a little flabbergasted by that. That sounds right. I suppose, though, if he and suppose he legitimately, competently wants to give money beyond $20,000, there must be a way for him to do that, right?
Well, I think that if he's competent and he knows what he's doing, then I think the best way, in theory, to do it is have him evaluated by a physician to determine he's competent.
Really? Wow.
And have that gift done, you know, with the light of day, transparency.
Mm-hmm.
It can be done if it's done appropriately.
Who's right then? Like, so then there's the adult children, and they're like, Dad, and he doesn't want to hear it. Well, this is exactly the Chuck Yeager case. And they cannot persuade him that he's being taken advantage of. Do you see that scenario much, and what happens then?
We do see that scenario in a number of circumstances where the dad cannot be persuaded that he's being taken advantage of. And unfortunately, what it does is it causes a often very deep rift between the children and dad. This kind of circumstance arises very frequently in a multiple marriage case, like Chuck Yeager's case. And, you know, the children from the generally first marriage are always fighting with the second wife or the third wife over the disposition of dad's assets. And if you can't persuade dad to open his eyes and see the world the way the children do, and dad is competent, then there's nothing you can do about it. But frequently those cases end up in the probate court where determination is made as to whether dad does understand what he's doing, and it's a battle of physician experts relative to dad's mental capacity.
Well, doesn't this happen often? One of the adult children have been appointed an executor or some sort of manager of dad's stuff, and that adult child would be the decider in this scenario?
If, in fact, someone is appointed by the court to be dad's guardian to make decisions for him regarding the management of his assets, then there's no question that dad cannot make that type of a gift if there's a guardian appointed. Sorry. But usually there is not a guardian appointed when dad wants to make this gift and his mental capacity is at issue. And we would bring that matter, as we frequently have done, before the probate court, seek the appointment of a guardian for dad to basically freeze his assets and prevent him from, passing out the money to the caregiver or to somebody else that wants to financially exploit him.
Kerry, we have 1 minute left and all our lines are ringing, so obviously we have to have a conversation about this another day very soon. But one last thing about that. If that adult child is in charge of dad's assets, I guess you need to have that conversation before that other person. Like, when you're worried about this happening, you need to get in front of dad and say, hey, dad, let's you and I talk about this, right?
Absolutely. We need to get dad in the office and discuss what his plans are, what his intentions are, and make sure he's competent to make those decisions.
And I know we got to go, but I would imagine this conversation is more resonant, especially now with COVID and a lot of adults not being able to check in on their parents as much as they used to. Kerry Peck is a managing partner at Peck Ritchie, Peck, RITCHEY.com. Kerry, I'll call you again. Really interesting. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me, John. Have a wonderful day and be safe.
News is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN.